League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
ESPN 97.5, KFNC 97.9, HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Presented by Zadok Jewelers. You're back with Gallant and George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time now to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bienemé. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
Gallant George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe George, Sean Mapes. We're hoping Paul Gallant will return tomorrow. And
well, at least we're hoping. I don't know.
I think DJ Bienemé from ESPN.com. From ESPN. I thought how Paul says it.
He'd be like, ESPN.
I don't think you missed Paul today. Ready to hang out with us for
judging from what he said when he walked in. Oh, no Paul today? Good.
Yeah, we're going to have a great time. I hope Paul's listening to know that. We are a better place when he's gone.
The Texans at a better place?
Yeah.
What do you think about the offensive line change? Were you surprised?
Nah, because I was on when I was on Joel and Jeremy's show, I did say like Titus being a left guard was a wild card. I think that they still can't run the ball. I mean, I feel like it's funny, like since Kenyon Green's been out, like they can't run the ball effectively. Like outside of the two games against Cowboys can't stop the run. Jags. When they've played anybody that's even respectable defensively at stopping the run, they've averaged under 47 yards per game. I think one game was 46. Obviously, this last one I think was like in the 40s, and they had one where it was like in the 12s. I mean, not 12, but like 20 something. It's like 14 for like 24 yards.
I mean, their longest run, actually their two longest runs were a Tank Dell reverse and Dare on a fake punt.
Right.
From what the offensive line blocks up, it was Joe Mixon, 12 carries, 23 yards.
Exactly.
Longest of five, which is crazy.
Right.
What is it about this offensive line that doesn't work, run blocking-wise, does not work unless Kenyon Green is in there? Because
this was so funny.
I don't know any other one player, one other left guard that has that kind of effect on especially run blocking, which you think is a more of a five-man unit type of deal.
Yeah, I would say that, all the shuffling – the chemistry is a little bit off because, you know, in zone blocking scheme, there has to be like a continuity and a chemistry and you're basically blocking as a team where the gap schemes is more you just block your guy and kind of go from there. I would say that also guys like Juice just aren't strong enough to move guys off the line of scrimmage, same with Jared Patterson. And then obviously you have Titus. Titus just isn't a natural left guard. Yeah. So like when you factor all those things in, that kind of explains why they struggle running the ball when Kenyon Green isn't out there. They don't run it as well, that is.
What do you think Titus Howard's future is with the Texans?
That's a good question. I think
because he hasn't been great this year. Like you look at some of like the advanced numbers about like pressures and getting beat off the ball.
Yeah.
He's pretty low across the NFL.
Yeah.
He also, I know he's, you know, currently has deleted Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But in his Twitter profile, he put right tackle only.
Yep.
Well,
he's
a left guard again.
Yep.
Do you think he's here next year? Or do you think, like, when they look at their salary cap stuff, that with bringing in Blake Fisher, maybe that's the guy they move on from?
So it's interesting because, like, I was looking at the cap space yesterday. I was actually talking to somebody about it yesterday. They're at, like, $14 million, like, for next year, which is towards the bottom of the league. They can get out of Titus's deal. They got to take on, like, I think his cap is, like, 23, and then they have to take on a $21 million dead cap hit. So I'm not really too sure how much cap space they'll actually free up. Probably, like, maybe, like, $2 million, or I really don't know. Be understanding like how the dev cap stuff works together with the cap hit and things of that nature. I think they would free up two if they got rid of him. They did draft Blake Fisher in the second round, and that's a high draft pick. So the option is either because Laramie's cap is really high; it's like 30, it's almost 30 for next year. It's like 28. They're not gonna move on from Laramie, so I could see a scenario where they possibly move on from Titus. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. And honestly, which kind of explains like why they're fine with moving him all over the offensive line.
Yeah, especially with part of that move is to start Blake Fisher, which I don't think is exactly an accident of, well, let's get our second round pick from this year.
Right.
A couple starts where
right.
now they're in the situation where they've already clinched the division.
Yeah.
I don't know how likely it is that they are the three seed. It's still possible that they can move up to the
right.
to the three seed, but you kind of need to beat Baltimore. That's right. the most important part of that
right.
is beating Baltimore to get up there.
Right.
How – I guess how much of the offensive struggles, especially last game or all season,
yeah.
but last game especially, winning the game but only having 181
that
yards.
That's crazy.
I thought it was a typo, but then thinking about the game, I was like, you know what, that feels right.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I can't
yeah,
believe
yeah, yeah, yeah.
they actually pulled that off. How much of it does go back to this offense not being able to be in sync, being able to get in a rhythm for any sustained portion of games? Is that just on the offensive line, or is it a bigger issue outside of just the five guys block?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of everything. I think that CJ is going through second year growing pains ish. Teams have a better idea on how to defend him, along with defending Bobby. Also, they only have one guy that can consistently beat man coverage, so that also hurts mm-hmm. a little bit. They've seen a lot of two high and a lot of cover two and a lot of quarter half, which is cover six. They've seen a lot of those type of coverages, cloud coverages, which teams have a decent idea of which side is going to be the initial read, and they can kind of muddy things up just a little bit. Obviously, Stephon Diggs being out hurts yeah. that too. Because, again, like some of the areas where you can attack where teams do go to that too high, you just need a little more time, and there are moments. But, again, the day looks a lot different if Metchie catches that pass down yeah. the sideline, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Like, it feels different, right? Because that probably goes for a touchdown or a really, really big gain. Even though, Dare did, he had a fake thing or whatever, but like the offense, they didn't really have the ball much. So I won't really criticize them too much because Miami did have the ball a lot because, obviously they were trying to do ball control, short pass game, blah, 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 blah. But each week feels like something else, what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's really a combination of damn near everything, what I'm saying? Like they haven't had many games where the offense was just clicking on all cylinders. I think.
Have they had any?
Week one,
Patriots game, which yeah. you can throw yeah. the Patriots asterisks on that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Their next highest scoring game was against the Cowboys on
right.
Monday Night Football.
But even that one, like they had
stalled out some
yeah. defensive touchdown.
Right, right. Maybe the second half of the Jags game, but there hasn't been like one, both halves of football where mm-hmm. the offense is really clicking. So I would say, it's been a thing the entire season. The two high stuff, has really been pretty effective against. The Texas offense in terms of just limiting them on a yard. Because the issue is they can't run that effectively when teams are in too high.
Yeah.
So, like, that just kind of defeats and ruins everything.
Yeah, if you can't run when they're in too high,
yeah.
then you can't force them to get them out of too
yeah,
high.
Yeah, exactly.
And now you can't – it makes it harder to throw, too.
Right, exactly.
Yesterday we put up this video on YouTube from our show, from Sean and I. The question was, how far can the Texans defense take them? Because it's pretty damn good. Can they take them? Is it just one playoff win? Is it two playoff wins?
Just one.
Just one?
Because the teams that you're going to have to see in the next round, after round one, if you get past that, going to have pretty good defenses and superhuman quarterbacks. Like Lamar, well, they'll probably see Lamar round one. And if it's Russ, well, Russ obviously isn't a superhuman, but I doubt they would actually go to the Pittsburgh, they would be going to Kansas City. Right mm-hmm, now they're at the four. Probably stay at the four. So it's out of Kansas City or Buffalo. So you're going to be facing superhuman quarterbacks. Like yesterday, as good as the defense played, I feel like in those circumstances, even though, like, yes, the Dolphins offensive tackles were missing, blah, 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 Waddle goes out. I feel like a Josh Allen, a Lamar, even a Burrow type, even like a Mahomes type would have been able to overcome the fact that the Texans' offense didn't score that much, because you're not going to be able to hold it off. Like, you can't live off of just trying to hold a team under 20 points. You know what I'm saying? So I think that the offense does have to score a little more points. They can't keep relying solely on just scoring off of turnovers. They got to be able to score without that. They got to be able to score in shootouts, whatever that is. So I think that maybe one, because right now they'd be playing. But the thing is, if it stays as currently constructed, it'd be the Ravens. You know what I'm saying? And the Ravens can put up points, and the defense has gotten better in the second half of the season, especially from a pass defense standpoint. And I would say if you get the Steelers, if TJ Watt's available, then it'll just be, you know, just two slugfests. So you can win that matchup, and maybe you can probably win the Chargers matchup that way too. But if it's the Ravens, then not.
Yeah, I think it's of the four teams, you know, Ravens, Steelers, Chargers, Broncos. The only one I think for sure I'd put as an L would be the Ravens. I think the Texans would win all the other games.
Like, yeah.
I think Bo Nix, he's been a fun story. I think it's been a little like inflated with some of the numbers that he has because they just keep chucking the ball down the field.
Right.
And he's just connecting on one out of like four of them. Right. So some of the numbers look great.
Right.
But what do you want to see the next three games now? Like what is there anything? Do you think there's any chance in 3 weeks, the next three games, specifically the next two games, they convince us of something that they're different on offense? Or do you feel like this is just, it's who they are, these are the problems, SOL?
Yeah, I think this is just who they are at this point. Expecting them to change and be, like, drastically better is just unrealistic at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like we want that to be the case, but it's just so hard for that to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, again, like, even the Jags game, they put up 23 points. The Jags defense is the one worst in the league.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they put up 23 points. Like, the Cowboys obviously have a bad defense. It took them until the end of the fourth to score a second half touchdown, you know? So I think, like, we have enough of a track record. And the offense is kind of – you kind of just kind of wait till next year. You know, obviously the injuries, losing Diggs, obviously the injury on the offensive line at times. Teams having a better book on Bobby and CJ. It's just, it is what it is for this year. And it's hard to change much at this point in the season. Because, again, you are who you are, you know. And if there's things that you struggle with, because think about it. Like, we've been talking about the stunt stuff the entire year. They still get sacked on stunts.
Yeah.
They still get sacked on stunts. You know what I'm saying? So, like, they are who they are. And they're gonna have to be a defensive-led team that if they can run the ball, then they can win some games. They could probably win a couple playoff games. If they can't run the ball, it's over. You know, like, you know, fair or not, it'll be unfair to put the entire offense on CJ in a playoff game on the road at this state. Like, you're not going to win much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you might be able to get to 20 points, but you're not going to realistically win that game. Him being 23 years old, second year, him having a solid second year, but, you know, him also having to overcome the fact that teams have a better idea of what Bobby likes to do. Like, it's just, you're going to have to be able to run the ball. If you can, like, it's over with.
So this team clinches their second straight AFC South championship.
Yep.
I think any other franchise would, their fan base would be super excited that their rookie quarterback, rookie head coach combination, first 2 years win it. But this is a city that's used to winning the AFC South that as like the hard ceiling for, or not the hard ceiling, seeing the divisional round as the hard ceiling for what this team can do. And like we said, that's kind of what we see this ceiling being. What can they do, or what do you think, how do you think they'll approach this 3 games in 11 day stretch now that they kind of do have the division locked up? We feel like they have the 4 seed locked up. Do you have any indication of how they'll play this, either giving guys rest if there's someone who's been playing through injury and they're banged up and they might be more cautious with them? We saw Joe Mixon get banged up on Sunday. Is that something that you have a sense of how they'll approach this, which we thought was going to be a huge stretch of their season? Now it looks like it's really don't get hurt before the playoff time.
Yeah, I would say I could see one D'Amico, like, that's not really, you know, we're going to sit guys out because we want to, unless, like, it's like 50-50 or whatever. Not if guys are just knick-knack. That's not really who he's about. I would say that these two games, they gotta win one of them just to give them confidence. One, I think, you know, the Ravens game is probably most important because that's who started, you know, getting them an L last year and ended last year.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that for whatever reason, the Ravens have always, I think the Ravens are like 12-2 against the Texans in their franchise history. So I think that, you know, they got to find a way to get that one. Obviously, the Kansas City one is interesting because it's like beat Kansas City, you got to at least, it's rare. There hasn't been a team I could think of right now that has beat Kansas City, right, in the playoffs, but they didn't beat them before in the regular season. You know what I'm saying? Like, every team that's beat Kansas City, I saw against the Bucks, but that was Brady, right? Brady's already beat him before. All of them, 2018, right, when they didn't get Super Bowl, the Patriots beat them early in the regular season. The Bengals, when they beat them, the Bengals beat them in the regular season. I think you have to get that confidence that you can legitimately beat a team like a team led by Mahomes, Andy Reid, all that, because they don't make – we see it. Like, I get it. A lot of it feels lucky, but they don't make mistakes at the end of games. They find ways to win no matter what. So I think that they – the Texans, if you want really want to make a playoff run, you got to be able to beat, I don't want to say both of them, but at least one of them. And I, if I had to pick my pick, it would be the Chiefs one, because going in there on a playoff game on the road, you're going to get that preview now.
Yeah.
Well, if Mahomes plays.
I think he's going to play.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if he's like, does it diminish?
No.
If he's just like, if he's...
He beat
if number 15 is under center.
He literally won a Super Bowl with a worse
ankle. I know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and he beat Burrow, and he beat the Eagles, who had a number I think they had a second ranked defense in the entire NFL, and they had 70 sacks that season. Granted, the turf was bad. A lot of guys were sleeping.
I forgot about the turf.
They put up like 38 against.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, that's a team that you have to at least have beaten before. We've yet to see a team beat the Chiefs in the postseason hasn't beat them in a regular season, right? And obviously the Bills have beat them the last 3 years, and they always find a way to lose at the last minute against them. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it's – if I had to pick which one, you got to win for your playoff run, it's for sure the Chiefs.
Yeah, especially because, like, we know, like, kind of the old, you know, like, adage about, like, beating a team twice in a season.
Yeah.
Like, well, you're playing Baltimore – on the 25th, and then you're playing them again potentially on the 9th or the 8th. Like, it's such a quick turnaround.
Right.
So, but because of the way the season's gone, like, it's kind of to look forward and backwards. The fake punt, Tank Dell being on punt return. Mm-hmm. Are they desperate on offense?
Because
it kind of like, it smells like desperation of like, we're acknowledging what the offense is. Because, like, we talked about this yesterday, and that's why, like, with the Chiefs game coming up, like, you would think logically you would not put out a fake punt play like that until you play Kansas City or Baltimore.
Right.
Instead, they had to use it against Miami.
Right.
Because they couldn't get anything going.
Yeah. I don't think you're wrong at all. I think that's actually an idea. I hadn't even thought about that. But I think that – I don't want to say it reeks of desperation, but I do think that it speaks to the larger point that they're trying to get the offense jump-started.
Yeah.
And putting Tank Dell at punt return also speaks to that, because obviously he can make things happen and things of that nature, just to try to give the team short fields. Because they haven't had that many drives where they've kind of like gone the length of the field since the Cowboys game. I guess Tennessee, they had a couple of takeaways and things of that nature. Because even like their first touchdown against Tennessee, it was set up by like an 81-yard kick return by Damian Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then obviously against Miami, they actually had zero drives. They had zero drives where they drove the length of the field. And mind you, Miami was punting a lot.
Yeah,
I guess the touchdown drive they did, but they had to get the Dar.
Yeah, I was gonna say that 70-yard. It was a 70-yard touchdown drive to start the second half. In the middle of that was a fake punt for 35 yards. Exactly. So I don't really give them credit for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, like, I think that's your point of, like, they're just trying to do whatever they can to try to jumpstart the offense. It's kind of interesting that at this point of the season, going into the season, we would think at this point that the offense would be such a anchor in the ground holding the Texans back. Like, I would have never thought that in my wildest. Like, I thought if the Texans didn't live up to expectation, it was going to be because – obviously, interior offensive line was going to be a little bit of an issue, but the interior defensive line, linebackers, and safeties were going to be enough of a problem to prevent them from reaching their thing. I thought CJ was still going to have a, you know, at least get to close to 30 touchdowns. Nico have a good year. Tank have a good year. Diggs have a good year. Bobby looked like this is going to be his last year in Houston to go become a head coach. Now, you got people saying this might be his last year in Houston. That's just the OC. You know what I'm saying?
And that's what we
want. You know? So, like, never in my wildest imaginations could I have seen the season going like this.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny. Zooming all the way out, they are 9-5, clinched the AFC South with 3 games left.
Right.
And their over-under was 9.5. They're going to hit that.
Yeah, in August, we're nodding our head. We're like, yep. And then if we played this segment and we're like, how far can this defense carry this team? What's wrong with their offense? Like, it is the complete opposite of what we thought that coming into the year, how they get – to this point. I think it's fair to say like they've lived up to the overall expectation of the team, but just because this offense is so limited that we're sitting here saying that they can only win one playoff
game. So if they lose the next two games, do you rest people in week 18?
I think you play them a half.
Because the offense sucks. I'm not taking C.J. Stroud and Nico, and I know Laremy Tunsil's not going to want to be out there because like it's just kind of who it seems like he is. So if Laramie's not out there, well, then you're not playing C.J.
Yeah.
Because I'm not putting – I don't even know who that would
– Nick Broeker.
Who?
It'd be Nick Broeker at right tackle and then a Blake at left tackle.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank God we've never heard of Broeker's name before.
So C.J.
– that's a good sign.
He's always on the inactive list.
Okay. So if Laremy doesn't want to play week 18, then C.J. can't play.
Yeah.
But – I think they got to play at least a half because the offense has been terrible. They don't deserve the benefit of the doubt. We're like, Mahomes can miss the next month with this ankle sprain, including the bye week, and no one would care. Josh Allen can take off. I'm not sitting these guys. They got to play a little bit.
And they just came off a bye and scored 20 points against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
So it's not like a rest issue or getting more time. Yeah, I think they have to play a half just to stay in rhythm.
What if they win one of the games? If they win one of the games, they get to 10 wins. Do you rest in week 18?
No, I think no matter what, because I just don't think the offense. Even if they beat Kansas City this weekend, City's offense has struggled this year. Like it wouldn't shock me if the Texans won this game 16-13, just because Mahomes is limited and they can't move the ball. Like while he's out there, he's not effective. I know they're talking about Hollywood Brown being back, but like they have been a terrible offense most of the year, just like the Texans.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I think the answer to that is going to depend on if the Steelers beat the Ravens. If the Steelers beat the Ravens, then you got to start considering it because at that point, now it almost becomes mathematically impossible get to
the three.
Yeah, you know. And I think as annoying as it is, that they probably would have to strongly consider resting because as bad as the offense is, the last thing you want is CJ be out there and twist an ankle or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, but they finished 9-8. That would for sure. That's what I'm saying. They damn near got to win both of these to give people more confidence about them going into the thing.
Yeah, having the 10-7 record up would make you feel a lot better, especially with the expectations.
How much better would that make y'all feel if they went 10-7?
I think
the same record that they had last year and they spent way more money.
If they beat the Ravens. For me, it's the Ravens game is more important than the Chiefs game.
Okay.
Because we saw them lose twice to the Ravens last year.
Okay.
And it's like, you want to prove to me that you've gotten better in any capacity? Okay. That's it. Okay. Like, Lamar Jackson's throwing 5 touchdowns. You have Derrick Henry out there. Like, that is a much better football team in a lot of ways offensively. Yeah, for sure. They're definitely a step backwards on defense with, like, their DC change.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, so, like, I want to see them win on Christmas versus Baltimore. I mean, no, I don't. They're going to win 10 games.
Okay, what if they go 10-7, but they lose in round one? How would the city feel?
They're gonna
bad.
They're gonna be disinterested, like they always are.
Yeah, step back. Yeah. Fire Bobby. That kind.
Yeah,
of
it's gonna be fire Bobby. They're gonna go into the offseason, no matter what happens in the draft, and what happens with Stephon Diggs, who's kind of floating out there already a little bit about Houston being home and liking it here, which I think would be huge because they owe him $60 million in dead cap next year. So I think you got to bring him back before March 1st and renegotiate his contract. I just don't think people. I think people will be kind of checked out in the offseason.
Yeah,
I don't think they'll be like the big.
Yeah,
you know, we all got so hyped up for one offseason, and then for it to go as bland and as poor as it has offensively, I'm not sure how. Like, I don't know if the season ticket wait list is there again next year. Mm.
Yeah, it would be same old Texans. It would go back to this team is what we have been accustomed to. It's back to what they were under Bill O'Brien when they had no problem winning division titles under Bill O'Brien.
Right.
It was just the ceiling always felt so limited, and you would have gotten 2 years. Now it is, again, rookie head coach, rookie quarterback that you would be having this feeling. So there is a little bit more, I would think, reason for optimism, but I think this fan base is just one that, especially having gotten their hopes up. Honestly, giving their hopes up this past offseason might make it worse going forward.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not going to want to get hurt again.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, shoot, like as a broken Dolphins fan, like listen, I
McDaniel can't beat a good team.
I am so done with that whole regime. So I get it.
Yeah.
I have a question. Since you're a Dolphins fan, I know it's only. I know there's more guys, McVay, some of these other ones who kind of run the Shanahan offense. It's different.
Yeah.
Is the Shanahan offense dead though? Because the Dolphins are struggling, the Texans are struggling, the Niners are struggling.
I feel like the league has caught up to it.
Yeah.
Like
I think Mike McDonald solved it last year for Baltimore. He beat all three of those teams pretty handily. And I think everyone has just copied it now. Like it reminds me of when Vic Fangio shut down Sean McVay and Jared Goff, and everyone caught on. I think people have caught on to like this version that these three teams specifically all run very similarly.
Yeah. I think the only one that's still having success is LaFleur. But one of the reasons why is like he loves to like he's committed to running the rock like they got some power stuff and like you know McVay also like they run a lot more inside zones and duos and things of that nature so they're more physical up the middle type of team, so I would say I think the league has for sure caught up to all because their drop back pass games are so simplistic D'Amico had a great game plan for everything that Mike McDaniel wanted to do, like everything. Like I remember, I also got some of the play action stuff, like the line. I'm gonna ask some guys, but my thought is they told the linebackers to not if they play action, don't move, so you can just be able to still get into those windows. Don't move because they trusted their D line to win against the Dolphins' offensive line and. To be able to get back into those windows and things of that nature. So I think that a lot of teams have a much, much better idea on how to stop a lot of it. Because, again, like you know they want to go over the middle. You know they want to go over the middle. So you just have to have a lot of bodies in that area. And you'll be able to slow it down. And I think that the league has for sure caught up. Because, again, as you said, like they all – the only guy – like the Rams had some success against Mike McDonald, but you know Stafford just blacked out. So I wonder how much of it is, you know, you also need a quarterback that can just completely black out. And obviously we've seen CJ black out, we've seen Tua at times black out, but obviously Stafford is in a tier above both of those guys at least right now. Well, at least at that point he was. Obviously Jordan Love has a lot of serious arm talent, but again I think just overall structurally like. They all have to, like, regroup and figure out how to – because the league has for sure caught up. Like, easily the league has caught up.
Like, yeah, like the Chaz pointed out, like, Minnesota, Tampa Bay, like, they're running it. But, like,
it's a little bit different.
Specifically with Minnesota and Green Bay, like, I watch those games all the time, like, being a Bears fan. Like, they do not run the same Shanahan offense.
No, because they're
– these teams run. They run the McVay version.
They
are different. Yeah. Same with Liam Cohen in Tampa Bay now, like – they are different offenses.
Yes,
it's almost it's a McVay branch
that
is still working. The Shanahan branch is just not in that way.
Yeah. All
right, he is DJ Bieniemy. Are you going to the Christmas game or are you going to take one off?
I'm going to be at the Christmas game. I cannot not go to any games. So I'll be at the Christmas one for sure. I'll be at the Kansas City. I've still booked myself to go to Tennessee though.
Can you avoid going to Tennessee if you know Davis Mills is playing as a starter? Like, will ESPN make an exception for that?
That's a good question.
Do I have to do this?
Probably not. I probably still got to go.
Okay.
They probably won't make the exception, sadly.
All right. He is DJ Bieniemy from ESPN.com. Thanks for coming in, as always. Appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. 10-minute drill next here on ESPN 97.5 and
92.5. ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.